الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم جزا الله عنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما وعلو مولانا we trust that you and the listeners are all well this fine Sunday morning Alhamdulillah with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we continue with our bilad al-muslimin the land of the Muslims and we are engaged with the history and the politics and the government in Albania. Over the last 2 weeks, we have discussed the early history of Albania. In fact, when Albania was invaded by the Turks in 1387, though the authority of the Sultan was recognized only in 1423, it regained independence for a short period under Sikandar Beg from 1444 to 1467. The Albanians are a proud nation and never allowed total submission to Turkish rule and regard themselves as Skipeta, that is, rock dwellers. Christians and Muslims cherish the traditional and customary bonds that bind them and the pride in the common nationality is the strength that prevents the split on religious basis. Albania was predominantly Christian in the early 17th century. It was like 10 to 1, the ratio. But gradually, the actions of the Muslims had an effect on them, and conversion, or rather reversion, set in. Between 1620 and 1650, that is in a period of 30 years, some 300,000 Albanians, Christians, reverted to Islam. Now we come to the government of Albania from 1944 to 1989 with the collapse of the Soviet Union. The Communist Party was the only party in the pre-1989 period before the collapse of communism and the Soviet Union. The party was called the Albanian Party of Labour, that is the APL, and its policy and ruling body was the Politburo. The first secretary of the party was the most powerful official in the country. Decisions of the Politburo were formally endorsed by the Central Committee, which comprised of 120 members, and periodically organized party congresses. In the Democratic Front, a conglomeration of social organizations put these programs into operation. The Communist Party controlled the institutions of government in the country. The People's Assembly, the only legislature that is unicameral, is given the opportunity to promulgate the laws. 250 members are elected on a single list to 4-year terms. This list was prepared by the Communist Party with input from the Democratic Front. The Presidium, that is the Administrative Committee of the People's Assembly, sets the agenda according to the policies of the Communist Party. Why we are emphasizing this period, Malana, is that with all the hardships, we know that what happened in Soviet Union, what happened in its satellite states, the Warsaw Pact, and Albania turned out to be the most strongest of the communist proponents in the region. The People's Assembly, as we said, set the agenda according to the policies of the Communist Party. The Presidium is elected by the People's Assembly delegates and meets only several days a year to ratify the proposals of the Presidium. The chairman of the Presidium is head of state, while the premier, who is the chairman of the Council of Ministers, drawn from the elite of the Communist Party, is the head of government. Suffrage is granted to everyone, every citizen 18 years and older, while the insane and criminals were excluded. People's councils are elected to govern districts, 26 rete and localities. Albania is one of the least developed countries in Europe. had been a communist state since 1944, after the Second World War, driving out of the Germans from the country during the World War II, that is between 1939 and 1945. It fell under Soviet influence initially, and in 1961, allied itself with China. Albania was part of the Ottoman Empire for over 400 years and gained independence in 1912. Its name in Albania is Skipjora, that is the land of the eagles. Tirana is the capital of Albania and its largest city. The inhabitants of Albania are divided into two major groups: the Czechs, who lived in the north, and the Tosks, who live in the south. The communist doctrine had ensured that the healthcare, social services, and education be free, and no Albanian paid taxes. Albania is bordered by Yugoslavia in the north, east, Macedonia in the east, southeast, and the Adriatic Sea in the western sector. The people are namely engaged in agriculture, fishing along the Adriatic coast, and as employees in the industrialized areas such as Elbasan, Fier, Skoda, and Florin. The industries are involved in the manufacture of cement, fertilizers, food products, and textiles, while the mining sector in the northeastern region is engaged in the production of chromite, lignite, nickel. The country also has natural gas and petroleum in economically viable quantities in the northwestern sector. The spread of religion is made up of Muslims, who are 70%, the Eastern Orthodox churches are 20%, and the Roman Catholics 10%. The population of Albania is about 5.5 million, but only half of the population is resident in Albania proper. The remainder live in Macedonia or Kosovo, and its currency is known as the lek, though during the Ottoman rule, riyals were used as a form of exchange. All the nearly 2 million Muslims in Kosovo are Albanian Muslims, while more than 1 million are resident in Macedonia. During communist rule, the party directed the economy through a series of five-year plans. It was a command economy, with the state maintaining strict control in every sphere. Agriculture was collectivized, industry was nationalized, thus private enterprise was strictly forbidden. The constitution strictly forbade any foreign aid and loans to be accepted. After 1989, the advent of more liberal views encouraged foreign investment and private endeavors, and especially the Arab states, especially from the Middle East, started investing in Albania, and as a result of their involvement in the economic activities, Islam also gradually took hold of what was a very atheistic state. Albania, despite being endowed with considerable resources, as stated earlier, is the poorest country in Europe, yet its potential for growth is tremendous and very encouraging. In Kosovo and Serbia, where Albania, in Kosovo and Serbia, where Albanians constitute the largest majority. During the Illyrian Kingdom, covered much of what is Albania today. From early 300 BC, Albania became part of the Roman Empire in 167 BC. In 395, the Roman Empire split into the Eastern Byzantine Empire and the Roman Empire in Italy. Albania was ruled by the former, though Albania was invaded by various nationalities such as the Goths, the Bulgarians, Albania, Slavs, and the Normans. In the 1300s, much of Albania fell under the Serbian Empire. Sikandar Beg resisted the attempts of the Ottoman Turks to bring Albania under Ottoman rule, and he was an Albanian hero until his death in 1468, when the Turks brought Albania under their rule. The national pride of the Albanians allowed the Albanians to be semi-autonomous and ensured that the country be governed by an indigenous governor. Albania was ruled by the Ottomans for over 400 years, and Islam gradually entrenched itself as a major religion in the region. In the late 19th century, in 1878, a group of Albanian leaders organized themselves into a League of Prizren, which campaigned for self-government. It was only in 1912, during the Balkan Wars, that Albania ascended to independence. The borders of Albania was established by the European powers, who installed William of Wied, a German prince, as ruler in 1913. His rule lasted only for a few months. During World War I, that is 1914 to 1918, Albania was occupied by the Austro-Hungarians, the Italians, Serbs, and the French, respectively. The Italians were successful in maintaining control until 1920, when the Albanians under Ahmed Ben Zogu demanded their independence and consequently seized power in 1925. Zogu became its first president and later in 1928 proclaimed himself as King Zog I. He ruled as a dictator until his death in 1939. Italy once again occupied Albania at the onset of World War II in 1939. During the war, the country was also occupied by the Germans. The independence movements during the war was spearheaded by three groups: the Bali Combatta, the nationalist movement led by Midet Furashvili, the Legality movement headed by Abbas Kopi, which had its allegiance to the royalty, that is, the establishment of a monarchy, and the communist bloc called the National Liberation Front, headed by Enver Hoxha. We're going to talk about Enver Hoxha a little bit later. It's very interesting. So all three groups envisaged independence for Albania as the ultimate aim. The infighting among themselves weakened the resolve of the first two groups and strengthened Enver Hoxha, who was supported by Yugoslavia. The communists drove the Germans out of Albania in 1944 and took control of the country with Hoxha, a college instructor, as ruler, the first secretary of the Communist Party of Albania. The expulsion of Yugoslavia in 1948 from the Cominform, an organization of European communist parties controlled by the Soviets, drove the Albanians into the Soviet camp to reduce the influence of the Slavs in Albania. This engagement with the Soviet Union lasted until the early 1960s. Because of strains in communist ideological interpretations between the Soviets and the Chinese, Hoxha sided with the latter, that is, with the Chinese, in denouncing the increasing support of the Soviets with the non-communist countries. China was backed by Albania in its quest for United Nations recognition, and this came to fruition in 1971. The party with China was also soured in the aftermath of the admission to the United Nations, and in 1978, the Chinese suspended and then cut off all ties to Albania. Hoxha and his group maintained that Albania was the only true communist representative in the world. He ruled Albania for 44 years and died in 1985. He was succeeded by Ramiz Alia as first secretary of the Communist Party. Before we carry on with the contemporary situation in Albania, We will inshallah examine the era of Enver Hoxha. His reign in Albania lasted for 44 years, and in that period, his Communist Party proudly expanded Marxist-Leninist ideology. To the latter, he broke off relations with his former masters, that is the Soviet Union and the Chinese, because they engaged in social and trade relations with the non-communist European states and the United States of America. The implementation of communist doctrine in Albania affected every aspect of Albanian society, the economic, political, educational, and religious life of every citizen was affected. In order to establish his form of communism, Hoxha prided in his country being the first atheist state in the world. This he said on February 6, 1967. There was no religion whatsoever. He closed all religious institutions of the Muslims and the Christians and promoted the doctrines of communism with such fervor that regular inspections in the workplace and the home by his cadres hindered the open practice of belief. The religion of the state was Albania and no more. Albanianism was the religion. Everything was controlled by the government. Peasants on farms engaged in agriculture were forced to work these lands in collectives and state farms on behalf of the state. Albania had the lowest private ownership of motor cars in the world. The state provided public transportation by means of buses, and citizens used bicycles to travel to and from work. A few cars that were found in Tirana, that is the capital, belonged to the government for the purpose of transporting the elite of the Communist Party. The complete isolation of Albania resulted in the banning of tourism to prevent the citizens from being influenced by revisionist doctrines of a decadent culture and ideology of the outside world. Incidentally, the surname Hoxha means an Islamic cleric, yet he insisted on the non-adoption of Muslim names and at every occasion condemned the cultural and traditional practices of the Muslims and also the Christians. Notwithstanding the measures implemented by the government and the Communist Party to eradicate completely any form of religion, religious affiliation or belief from Albanian society, and the penalty of ostracism, imprisonment, and even death, the Muslims of Albania withstood the danger to their lives, and in such an all-pervasive atheistic environment, held on to the kalima of Islam. Though through 40 years, their faith in truth and Islam could not be crushed or diminished. Allah knows best how they withstood the onslaught on their iman and came through with distinction. An hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that Jannah lies beneath the feet of the mother. And in Albania, the Muslim mothers and sisters, with the assistance of their fathers, husbands, and brothers, ensured that the light of iman would not be extinguished, no matter what hardships were brought upon them. In the lap of the mother and the sisters, the quest to maintain Islam was nurtured and cherished. No tribute is too much for the women of Islam in Albania. They found novel ways of maintaining their deen intact. The government built crèches for working Muslim women. These had to be closed due to the enterprising spirit of the Muslim women. They engaged on behalf of the government in producing carpets at home or breeding turkey and small state farms. The excuse was that they were actively involved in the production process and thus were making a contribution to the state. Another factor that kept the flame of Islam alive in Albania was that after the break with the Soviets and the Chinese, Hoxha turned to the Muslim world for assistance, and Muslim organizations gradually carried the deen to Albania, thus awaiting the spark of Iman that needed to be rekindled again. It is noteworthy that during the communist rule, though Hoxha sought aid from Muslim countries, none were to condemn him for his onslaught on Islam and treatment of Muslims. With the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989, it seemed that Albania would withstand the new wave of social change. But students instigated massive popular protests against the government in 1990. The government enforced repressive measures, banning all gatherings and protests. Ramiz Alia could not withstand the popular protests and considered to introduce reforms to allow more open participation by various other political parties. In the wake of the new social change that swept the Balkans, the Serbs under Mihailovic and then under Milosevic sought to avenge the 1389 defeat and undertook a systematic strategy of genocide against the Muslims in the Balkans. The West stood by and during wrung their hands with platitudes of no real substance. The British pair of David Owen and Lord Carrington, involved in overseeing the new war, murder and rape of Muslims, created safe havens for Muslims to take refuge, where they were summarily massacred by the Serbs in their ethnic cleansing to annihilate Muslims from Europe. The efforts of Ibrahim Rugova in Kosovo to placate the Serbs was overtaken by the Kosovo Liberation Army in withstanding the onslaught. With the intervention of NATO after the destruction of Pristina, some form of calm was brought to Kosovo, with NATO maintaining its forces to maintain peace. In the 1995 Dayton Accords and the subsequent ratification thereof in Paris on the 4th of December 1995, brought to an end 3 years of intensive ethnic cleansing, not only in Albania and Kosovo, but also in Bosnia-Herzegovina. A very interesting period, Molana, the 400 years of Ottoman rule in Albania just shows that what the Khilafat can do for the Muslim Ummah. Ottoman supremacy in the West Balkan region began in 1385 with the success in the Battle of Savra. Following that battle, the Ottoman Empire in 1415 established the Sanjak of Albania, covering the conquered parts of Albania, which included territory stretching from the Metrovard to the north to Shamaria in the south. In 1419, Zirokastra became the administrative center of the Sanjak of Albania. The Ottoman and Albanian wars, many Albanians had been recruited into the Janissary Corps. This was a regiment which the Ottomans created by taking European youth into the Ottoman Empire and training them to be soldiers, and this group was the elite group that guarded the sultans and were the elite force in the battles that followed in the Ottoman Empire, including the feudal heir George Kastrioti, who renamed himself Sikandar Bey by his Turkish officers in Edirne. After the Ottoman defeat in the Battle of Nis at the hands of the Hungarians, Sikandar Bey deserted in November 1443 and began a rebellion against the Ottoman Empire. After his desertion, Sikandar Bey, as some say, converted back to Christianity and declared war against the Ottoman Empire, which he led from 1443 to 1468. He summoned the Albanian princes to a Venetian-controlled town of Lecce, where they formed the League of Lecce. Gibbons reports that the Albanians, a martial race, were unanimous to live and die with their hereditary prince, and that in the Assembly of the States of Epirus, Sikandar Beg was elected general of the Turkish War, and each of the allies engaged to furnish his respective Albanian force held off Ottoman campaigns for 25 years and overcame a number of the forces led by Ottoman Sultans Murad II and Mehmed II. For 25 years, Sikandar Beg's army of around 10,000 men marched through Ottoman territory, winning against consistently larger and better supplied Ottoman forces. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala accept it, and we trust that the people of Gaza and Bangladesh, the Rohingyas, and the Muslim Ummah throughout the world, Allah Ta'ala give them serenity and sukoon, and protect the Muslim Ummah, in fact, even in the United Kingdom and throughout the world. I think Muslims, Islam is under attack, and Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for the Muslim Ummah. For we are the Ummah of them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To you and the listeners, Mawlana, we pray that you have a wonderful weekend. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.